going on, Packers fans? Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope you're carrying the G and singing the praises of the green and gold, because gosh darn it, looking around these here internet streets at fans of other teams dealing with all manner of who knows what, you know, I get the Packers can be frustrating, and we have certainly stubbed our toe, so to speak, in the playoffs over the last decade plus. But man, it could be a whole lot worse. That's a generalization, but it feels very, very true today as I watch countless YouTube videos and read untold amounts of scouting reports on prospects and team needs and what they're doing and what they have to do cap-wise and free agency. Man, I like where we're at as Packers fans with this organization heading into the offseason and heading into the NFL scouting combine next week, where we will hear from Brian Gutekunst on Tuesday morning. Undoubtedly will reveal all of his free agency and draft plans there in public for the assembled media at 10 a.m. Eastern. I, for one, cannot wait. I jest, of course, he won't say anything, but it's always good to hear from the man in charge of assembling the Green Bay Packers roster. And you know, improvement within. It's something that the Packers have leaned on throughout certainly the last couple decades, so to speak, essentially basically since Ron Wolf came in the door. And there's a lot every offseason made of additions and shiny new toys when it comes to got to get a number one wide receiver or need to bolster the offensive line or maybe we can get, oh, you know, some kind of new weapon or toy for Jordan Love, etc. Well, there is something like that sitting there, right there on the roster in Luke Musgrave, heading into his third year, coming off a injury-riddled second season, which followed an injury-riddled rookie season. And, well, you know, I'm going to be honest, a lackluster beginning of the season on the field. Certainly didn't have the kind of pop that his summer did his rookie year, where you saw him all over Ray Nitschke Field, making play after play after play. Fast forward to the start of this past training camp and a much more muted presentation, I would say, from Musgrave. Certainly thought he'd be a big component for the offense coming into 2024. That certainly didn't materialize early on in the year. Sparingly used. In fact, I believe Jordan Love threw an interception trying to target him down the seam against the Eagles in week one. But overall, just a lackluster start to the season prior to that injury against the Vikings. And then, of course, he's out for the balance of the year, mostly until he gets back late December. And again, I understand it's going to take some time to get back into playing shape, so to speak, game readiness. But even after a few weeks, pretty much a non-factor, didn't even have a target in the playoff loss to the Eagles, a game where I thought, you know, there's a decent chance you might want to attack the seam there, that Fangio defense, but nothing from the big body, fleet-footed Luke Musgrave, who can still be a weapon, but it is certainly put up or shut up time heading into year three. A guy who I think somewhat improved when it came to the physical aspects of the game, the blocking side of things. Definitely not the reason he was drafted. He was there to catch footballs and be fast, right? And you've seen ever so slightly the glimpses of that. But there's an area. That's a specific player who, if he can reach his potential or even begin just to scratch the surface of it, he can add a dynamic presence to this Packers offense that it desperately needs. And I'm not saying that's your number one wide receiver. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying completely dismiss the idea of adding a receiver or two. But I do believe most folks have kind of forgotten about Musgrave, and I don't blame them. It's not like he's contributed a ton these first 2 years in the league. But all of that potential, all that explosiveness, all that athleticism, it's still there. And I do think, given another offseason, hopefully a tweak of the offensive system, something designed to get the ball in his hands in space a little bit more, something that we didn't see a ton of during training camp this past year, especially in comparison to his rookie season, I do think he can still help this offense in a big, big way. Again, we're not going to even get close to getting this kind of answer until we get out back out there on the field, on Ray Nitschke Field later on this summer. But it is something to keep in the back of your mind when you're talking about the Packers offense and how muted it was, especially down the stretch this past year. That's a player where there's no doubt an unlimited amount of potential there still. And it is incumbent upon Matt LaFleur and the offensive coaching staff to draw it out of him, to get him the ball in space, to get him the ball, period. And I do think if they can unlock that potential, he has the ability to help take this offense to that next proverbial level, that area where, you know, two tight end sets, especially in traditionally West Coast type offenses, can really play havoc with defensive coordinators, with defensive approaches, getting really good mismatches in space, up the seam, or wherever. Again, I do think that's untapped potential that a lot of people tend to somewhat forget about. Just a note for today, as we sit here with no real headlines to talk about, always interested to hear what you guys have to say. Prior to the start of the combine next week, which I am always very excited to attend, and then free agency and the draft. And speaking of the draft, as we shouted out this morning and yesterday here on the chat, coming April 2nd, the new 15th annual Cheesehead TV draft guide. That's right. Dropping on April 2nd. Do not forget to get your Cheesehead TV draft guide. It's going to be phenomenal. Each and every year, Al and company put together just an outstanding, well, I guess you'd call it a labor of love. And again, every year I say it, and every year it's true. It's one of the, if not the best piece of content Cheesehead TV creates each and every season, mostly because I'm not involved in any real sense. So get on it, people. It's going to be a lot of fun. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everybody chatting it up. Stu always starts us off with football. Yes, Stu, football. Ed, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. We'll never understand why any of the networks don't run Packer highlights at noon every Sunday until next season. Yeah, they are online, but Sunday noon on TV would be a ratings bonanza. I mean, you might be onto something there, man. I should contact the local affiliates, see if somebody would bite. It's not a bad idea. Simatovich, what's going on, man? Plans to for a meetup during the combine in amazing Indy? Simatovich, I'm glad you brought it up. At the moment, no. At the moment, kind of juggling some things schedule-wise. I can't really, at the moment, can't really find a night to make it work. But that doesn't mean it won't happen. We still got a few days here before I leave. So watch this space. And if and when I kind of figure it out, I will let everyone know. But at the moment, there's nothing scheduled. Craig Brockmiller, thanks to the super chat, man. Do you see Matt LaFleur moving on to a new special teams coach? Regardless, who would you like to see in that position? Thanks for all you do, sir. Go Pack, go. Craig, feels like you're a little late here, dude. Seeing as, our guy has been signed to an extension. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't really see anyone else in that role. Bisaccia has been there as kind of not only a special teams coordinator, but as a LaFleur confidant, was given a promotion essentially as the assistant head coach. I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon, at least not this year for certain. But as far as who I'd like to see, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I have a Rolodex of folks that I am jonesing to see promoted or hired to special teams coordinator. I know we all on the outside sit here in judgment each and every year when coaching moves are made and like we know what the hell we're talking about, but Matt LaFleur, while hiring these guys, has way more information than we do. And for every kind of snide, like he only hires his buddy thing that I'll ever get, I'll just point back to, well, he hired Jeff Hafley, who wasn't his buddy. And that was a real outside the box kind of hire. No one had that on their radar. And it seems to have hit. You know, so, and here's the other thing. And we did an extensive conversation about this, Justice Mosqueda and I, a couple weeks ago. So I encourage you to watch that video. Bisaccia is nowhere near as bad as the fandom thinks he is when it comes to special teams. There are certainly rough moments, no doubt about it. But this idea that they have this incredibly terrible special teams unit is misguided. Let's put it that way. Ryan Willie, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member, man. Aaron, next time you go on Grossi's charity stream, you should challenge him in Madden. You know, it was a thanks for checking it out last night. It was a occasion where we want to raise money for a charity. It's positive vibes. I don't want to bring him down. I don't want to remind him of an ass kicking from years ago, you know? And yes, we've talked about it since then, but he's always kind of ducking me because he knows he's going to get his ass kicked again whenever it happens. So, you know, I don't want to bring up bad tidings in what was a very positive setting, but maybe someday he'll stop ducking me. We'll see. Joe, thanks for the super chat, man. Think Luke has a lack of flex in his legs, so I don't think he'll ever be a reliable blocker. Can't expect that to change. Size slash speed is his thing. Yeah, I mean, I somewhat agree with you as far as, you know, he's always going to be the receiving tight end, right? That is his lot in life. That is who he is. But I will also say he improved in that area in general last year. Now, you can certainly turn on a bunch of tape that shows him getting blown up, getting out physical at the point of attack, what have you. And you certainly wanted to continue to improve. But I don't, you know, I don't see a guy who doesn't have the want to. And that's usually kind of the issue, right, with the receiving tight end in particular. I mean, I don't have to remind you guys of what a disaster Jimmy Graham was when it came to even attempting to block, let alone executing a block. You know, Musgrave has shown he's at least ready to stick his nose in there, so to speak, right? Oh, Simitovich just got out of Gamey County as an account manager. I'll be repping Appleton. Any cool things I should know? What about the county or about Appleton? The list is long. Craig, thanks again, man. Thanks. I did miss the extension. At the combine, you going to run the 40 a la Grassi? Would you break 9 seconds? 9 seconds, sir. You'd be lucky to hit 20 seconds. Are you kidding me? Oh, J-Rock, good question, man. How does Goody balance drafting for Halfley's scheme, knowing he might be a head coach in a year or two, and the will bring in the defensive coordinator with a new scheme? Aha. Well, that presupposes that they would bring in a new scheme. Perhaps they wouldn't. Perhaps they would stick with a continuation of the scheme with someone on staff. Now, you know, I can't say that for certain, but this is what I talk about when I talk about a head coach having a program, right? Building the entirety of the program and your vision for it, as opposed to just hiring willy-nilly and saying, oh, we got to be a 3-4, or no, we're a 4-3 now. I do think there's some continuity in-house as far as their plans long-term. Now, all of that said, Goody has made it very clear, and I don't know like how much I agree with this approach, but he certainly seems to believe in it. The idea that they, the personnel staff, his guys, are adept at finding guys who are flexible enough and versatile enough to play in any scheme. And I do think there is some validity to that, but I also think there's certainly something to be said for drafting for a particular kind of set of skills for schematic specificity. That doesn't mean that I'm right, but I do think, you know, this idea that, oh, we can draft guys who can play in anything. Okay, maybe you can, but does that mean they're going to be exceptional at it? Or are they just going to be adequate at it because they're versatile? And it's the old, you know, good at a lot of stuff, but master of none. You know? Jay Western. Sup, Nags? Keep the offseason rolling. I mean, I got little choice, right? The offseason rolls whether I want it to or not. But I appreciate you, man. Ooh, David. Thanks for checking out the stream, man. Hey, Nags, I hope folks understand we caught lightning in a bottle last year with Jacobs and McKinney in free agency. That doesn't happen that often. Yes and no, David. I think what you're discounting here is their track record when it comes to dipping their toe into free agency. Those waters have been kind to them when they've chosen to utilize them. I mean, look back when they signed, what, 4 dudes within the first kind of week of free agency with the Smith brothers, Adrian Amos, you know, that year they were pretty successful. Now I understand like Jacobs was out of this world productive and McKinney was an all pro. And that certainly helps like kind of pelts on the wall, kind of trophy case, what have you, but it's not like they've made a bunch of bad signings in free agency. I suspect they will continue to be selective. You know, even going back before Goody's time, when Ted Thompson decided to utilize free agency, he did a pretty damn good job of it. Between Charles Woodson or Julius Peppers, they've found some really good players. Now, that doesn't mean that every guy you sign is going to be that level, right? But usually their batting average is pretty damn good in free agency. So while, no, you probably shouldn't expect two stars and or all pros to walk in the door, I feel confident in saying if the Packers sign you in free agency and bring you into their program, the chances are you're going to fit and you're going to be pretty damn good. Maybe not all pro, but you're going to be pretty damn good. You know, that I understand, I understand your point, and you are correct as far as it doesn't happen that on that big a scale and that big a kind of move every single year. No doubt about it. Mimsy, thanks for the super chat. Congrats on the YouTube plaque. Is St. Elmo overhyped? What a juxtaposition. Thank you. And is St. Elmo's overhyped? No, I love it, man. I have reservations there already for next week. I get it, man. If you're like a connoisseur of steakhouses around the world, maybe. But I love it. I have a great time each and every year. I attend the combine. I absolutely hit up St. Elmo's every single time. The shrimp cocktail is something you do need to experience at least once. For myself, once was enough. But steaks are great. Drinks are good. Conversation is always fun. I never have a bad experience there. So not for myself. Rai, thanks, man. It's a good question. What new wrinkles could we see from Halfley next season, assuming they add pass rush help / bolster the cornerback room? You know, what's interesting is I think there's a decent chance we see fewer wrinkles, if anything. I mean, this season we saw him have to, you can say, resort to a lot of simulated pressures, a lot of exotic stuff to try and generate pressure, right? I think this season you're going to see less of that. I think the hope would be you can rush four more often, rather than having to sim up pressure and you're still rushing four, but you're making the offensive line guess or work at who is coming and who's dropping. I think the hope would be you have to do less of that this season. You know, LaFleur talked about it as season closing presser, about the idea coming into the year was rushing four and kind of combo different coverages behind it. And that really was not their bread and butter. It did not suit them very well. So they had to kind of change course, right? And I think you saw that play out throughout the season. I would suspect their hope internally is we have to do less of that this year. We're able to win up front with four more often than not. That's what I would suspect anyway. Oh, Mimsy, you've never been. You love shrimp cocktail. Dude, get the shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's. It's a good time. Joe, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Kenny Clark's contract, an underrated factor in Packers 2025 draft plans, $11 million roster bonus, early March 2026. I don't know about underrated. I think it's definitely a component, though. There's zero doubt about it. In fact, I just talked with Justice about the offensive line and the components of the contracts playing into the draft, right? That's always true in Green Bay. Almost 100% of the time, you can look at what the contract structures are, where the outs are on those contracts, or the end of contracts for rookies going into their final year of their rookie deal, you know, off their rookie contracts. And more often than not, that draft will feature a player or two at those positions where they're either they're heading into the final year of their rookie deal, or a guy is a candidate to kind of be cut because of the contract, and which I suspect is probably very true of Kenny Clark heading into 2025. I'll be surprised if this isn't Kenny's last year in Green Bay. And I do think he'll be better. I do think they will draft accordingly with the idea of they're going to need to bolster that defensive front, both because of Kenny's kind of contract situation, but also because you've got to keep those bodies winning up front and you need premium talent. And as Ted Thompson said, the good Lord only made so many. Ralph, Rags versus Ramage, Super Beer 1. Well, when will that happen? Ralph, funny you should mention it. I'm going to be on with Ramage tonight, but I don't think we'll be doing any kind of beer contest, but I will be live with Matt Ramage this evening on his live show, all of his socials. So make sure you check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Freddie says Kenny Clark is trade bait. I don't see that. Who's trading for Kenny Clark with that contract at that age, coming off a very down year production wise? I don't see it. Now, and I know what you might say is like somebody running, you know, maybe even Joe Barry's scheme someplace else, maybe a team running something more 3-4 oriented where he was more productive, right? But given his contract situation, like again, coming off last year's lack of production, I'd be surprised. Even if, as you say, the Vikings, you think Brian Gutekunst is going to pull that trigger? I tend to doubt it. Oh, Big Al, what a question. Out of four defensive coordinators in my Packers fandom, who is the better DC? Dom Capers, Mike Pettine, Joe Barry, or Jeff Hafley? Oh, it's Dom Capers. It's 100% Dom Capers. Now, I understand Capers was definitely kept around too long, but yeah, he had a very, very, very good defense early on in Green Bay, which is kind of always was his MO, no matter where he was. Those first two or three years, his defense was markedly improved wherever he took over, and then would somewhat kind of, let's say, you know, regress. But I will say, I always appreciated Dom and his approach, especially given the fact that he was running, you know, something that was pretty damn complicated. And Ted kept giving him like younger and younger guys. And whenever there were injuries, they would just pull guys off the practice squad rather than going out and getting other talent. So I do understand why Mike kept Dom around as long as he did. But yeah, of those four, it's Dom Capers. Now, I think Jeff Hafley's got a real chance to become an excellent NFL defensive coordinator, but it's 1 year in. Let's see what happens next year, a year after people have an offseason to pick apart what he's been doing and see how they can try and take advantage of it and see how he readies for that. It's a long way, a lot of ball game left with Hafley, but of those four, yeah, give me Capers, definitely. Daryl, yes, Luke Musgrave has to make something happen. It's time for him to be the workhorse. Kraft did his part. Now it's Musgrave's turn to deal with the workload. I mean, I agree it's time for him to make something happen. He's not overtaking Tucker Kraft. That is not, he is not becoming tight end one, if that's what you're saying. Kraft is that guy, is that dude who is essentially going to be on the field more often than not simply because he's the better blocker of the two and you can do more with him. You can keep things, you can keep defensive coordinators guessing a lot more with Kraft than you can with Musgrave. Now, that said, you are 100% right that he needs to contribute. There is zero doubt about it. It is coming up on put up or shut up time. Vin V, what's going on, man? How we doing, Nags? I need a good offseason read. Just finished the Packer way. Anything sports related, not only Packers. Well, let me hold on a second. Look at my books up here. Have you read Collision Low Crossers? That's a good one. Blood. Oh, this is a good one. This is a great old school. Tim Layden's book, Blood, Sweat, and Chalk. This is outstanding. Read this book. You will not be sorry.
Let's see. Oh, can't not recommend this.
The Ultimate Super Bowl book from Bob McGinn. Outstanding. Let's read the inscription, shall we? February 2011. To Aaron, a hardcore football book for a hardcore football guy. Hope you love it. All the best. Bob McGinn. Highly recommended. Good stuff. I mean, there are so many. Oh, you know what's another one? This is really underrated. Hold on. This criminally underrated book, America's Quarterback, the Bart Starr biography. Cannot recommend this book enough. And it's something that not a lot of people talk about or name check or really kind of mention when people are talking about great Packers books. But this is a great book, period. But a great Packers book that, again, not a lot of people talk about. Highly recommended. Good, good stuff, people. Good, good stuff. Story time with Aaron Eggler. Yeah, right. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Check me out on Ramage tonight. Talk to you tomorrow. Go Pack, go.